Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Caring for Animals, number 374 shows and counting this evening. And we're going to keep moving right along because this is over 8 years of doing this show. The first show to 163rd show was on Marty Oakley TS Radio Network, and then that went up to March of 2018, from the end of June of 2014. And from March of 2018 through current, 164 shows to the 374 shows this evening. This is just so great on this radio platform, standing up and speaking out for all the animals in need and distress. Because without us, everyone, they don't stand a chance, and we got to keep working on getting out, get them out of harm's way, because all lives matter, including all the animals. So we got to do what we can do to make them have better lives and futures for all of them. And I just want to go over a couple things before I do get started. My name is Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear. My nickname is Mama Bear because I am on the air, and I do care. So... And I have all these other nicknames, Pitbull Debbie and Mustang Debbie, and I love them all. So, but I want to, this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, and want to give Marty Oakley a big shout out of TS Radio Network. That's where the Voices Caring for Animals first originated from, and it's still going strong, and that's because a big success for all these former guests and the callers and all the listeners that's involved, and everyone, to give a big shout out to everyone that helps me promote all these shows every Thursday. Fans of animal rights, I'll give them a big shout out. A big shout out to Gary Bowden. He is the radio producer for All About Animals Radio, and they just celebrated their six-month anniversary. Congratulations, Gary, and All About Animal Radio. And two of the, he's been a guest on this show, and we're looking forward to having him come back. He does have Animal Advocate Alliance, and I am a member on there, and I post as Mama Bear. And that's also on Twitter, Facebook, and, you know, check out their pages. Go back and, you know, press like or follow and see what they have and see how you can help out. He is an awesome super team player, and a big shout out to all the Animal Advocate Alliance, the team members on there, for all you do. It's a global animal advocates posting, and together as a team, I call us the super team, getting the word out there, getting awareness, how you can help out, because that is the key. Teamwork is the key, everyone. And Marty Oakley's PPJ Gazette, she proudly promotes this show every Thursday. If you'd like to check that out, and you can see all the archived or listen to all the archived shows that I have on there. If you go to the right-hand column and search Voices Carry for Animals on the PPJ Gazette, and all the links will pop up, and just pick which one you want to listen to, and wait for it to download, and it will play. And you can share it from the bottom of the promos, or you can follow my podcast from there also on the right-hand column. Just press follow, put your email address in. Every time there's an upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email. And it's awesome because I also have that on the Animal Advocate Alliance. And thank you, Gary, for all the on-demand episodes of my show. On AAA Radio. It's at the top of the Animal Advocate Alliance. Just press Voices Carry for Animals. And you can also listen to the shows from there. And also a big shout-out to Spencer Hodgetts of Rebound Dog. He also has this, my podcast on there under Rebound Dog News. And I appreciate that very much. He's been a former guest. And another shout-out to Lauren Contino, and she said she was going to call in this evening, Save the World, Save the Animals, and my podcast is also on there. And this is all teamwork, everyone. I mean, it's a chain reaction, getting the word out there on help, on getting these animals, you know, to live in comfort and peace and respect and dignity, free from anxiety and fear and torture, abuse, neglect. I mean, there's still a lot of issues out there that has rolled over from the 20th century, and we're running up to 2023, everyone. So I hope 2023 is going to be a better year, more victories for the animals, because we can do it. Think positive, be proactive, optimistic, relentless, and we can do this. That's what I always do. I multitask and help whatever I can out there besides this radio platform. 374 shows this evening, everyone. And give myself a big pat on the back because I'm going to keep going because I love doing these platforms and interviewing all these guests. They've been so amazing and informative, and some keep coming back, and they're always welcome back because the more exposure, the better out there. So I want to get going here. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio, and you can also follow my podcast if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/voices carry for animals. There is a follow link. Just press it, put your email address in, and it will, every time there's an upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email. So hope everyone enjoys the show. Thank you all for joining in. And this show comes live to you every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, or 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everyone. I've had guests from all over the United States, and there are some countries out there that I've also brought them in. They're just in a different time zone, and they're also welcome in. So together we can make a difference. We got to at least try. We cannot give up, everyone. But I want to bring my guest on. He's coming back. This is Watts Dog Mary, a.k.a. Mary Swagger. She's out there working hard, and she's an award-winning investigative journalist writing about animals. And she's always walking out just like the rest of them. And I want to bring her on board. Area code 617, Watts Dog Mary. Welcome back to Voices Carry for Animals. This is so great. It's such an honor. And I love it. Go ahead.
Hey, Live Debbie. Thanks so much for having me back. Thanks so much for having me back,
anytime.
Debbie.
Hey, anytime. This is not going to be the last time, okay? As long as I'm running the air on Blog Talk Radio, you'll be always welcome back because you're part of the Voices
well,
Caring for Animals family.
I love being a part of your show, so thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for all you're doing because you're so inspiring to humans and animals out there. And that's what it takes. You know, keep going and, you know, you got the website going and Twitter and Facebook and you got a great team going here and just, you know, keep it up. You're a shining star out there. But you want to go ahead and refresh the audience on how you got started and if you would, and congratulations on the Emmys Awards, okay? I love to bring that up because that's so important on the animal rights activists. But you want to go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself, just refresh their memory, how you got started, and then we'll get on tonight's topic about high inflation.
Sure.
How these animals are getting put in shelters, overcrowded, and some are euthanized, and it's so sad. But go right ahead. You are live.
Sure.
And on the air.
Well, I got started in investigative journalism pretty much because I flunked chemistry, and so I had to switch majors pretty quickly in college. And my mother said, go over to that College of Communications. I bet you'll be good at something there. So I sulked across the street to the College of Communications. And I said, tell me about the majors you have and that you offer here. And they said, we have this and that, and we have broadcast journalism. And I said, oh, that sounds pretty cool. So I switched majors. And it turned out that my failure of chemistry, as they always say, a door closes and a window opens, and it happened to likely be the right window that I was supposed to go through. So that was good. And how I got into writing about, so I've been working around the country and television news and then also doing print journalism. And about 10 years ago, I had a couple of national consumer columns that I would write about consumer news and consumer investigations. And I also offered an email that people could reach me to give me story ideas and tips. And I'll never forget the day, but a woman named Jen White contacted me from San Antonio, Texas, and she said, if you want a story to investigate, you should investigate the San Antonio, Texas Animal Shelter, because that city and the state of Texas is euthanizing more dogs than any other state in the country, and someone needs to shine a light on that. And I'm from Chicago originally, and also I've lived in Boston now for the past 23 years. And, you know, we don't have the same issues that they have in Texas and some of the other southern states up in the Northeast. And so I was shocked when I heard the amounts of dogs and cats that were being killed in shelters for space reasons, not because they were sick or, you know, incredibly aggressive or some sort of, you know, reason. It's just because they were too crowded, so they just had to kill them. So I started writing more and more about animals, and her alerting me to this situation really launched a new path for me. And now I write about animals all the time. I write about rescues. I write consumer pieces. I write for the Dodo, Dogster Magazine, Catster Magazine. I've written for Just Labs and some other publications. I've also done environmental and nature pieces for a website called EnviroNews. And I've recently have won several awards and honors from the Dog Writers Association and the Cat Writers Association of America as well. So I love the path that I've gone down with this. And I also volunteer heavily in animal rescue. And so I'm constantly on the front lines and hearing about what rescues and shelters and veterinarians and those who try to help animals are facing every day. And recently, there's a new crisis going on, and it has a lot to do with the economy and inflation. I've been chatting with shelters, rescues, and those on the front lines of saving animals. And they're very worried. They say we're facing a huge crisis that they're afraid is only going to get worse. And right now, shelters that I'm talking to say they're seeing a massive increase in the amount of people who are surrendering their pets. That means giving them up to a shelter. I'm hearing everything about people giving up their dogs, their cats, even their guinea pigs, birds, and rabbits. And, you know, a lot of people worry that, and I'm going to give you some survey and some statistics about some studies that have been done, but a lot of people are worrying that inflation and the economy are some of the main reasons that people are giving up their animals. I mean, if you think about it, the cost of everything has gone up lately, you know, pet food, supplies, you know, even our own food.
Yes.
And pet owners are also facing, you know, increased animal hospital and veterinary care bills. Because, of course, you know, they have to, the animal hospitals and the vets have to stay afloat too, and they have to pass along their increases to their customers to keep their doors open. But, of course, you know, everything is just going up. In fact, recent data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics found that consumer prices are up about 8.5% from last year to this year. And then there's also some very specific pet data out there that's pretty heartbreaking. So a survey by Forbes found that 12% of people who gave up their pets to shelters say inflation made it too expensive for their everyday costs for their pets, such as food and veterinary care. And some people who surrendered their pets say the rising cost of rent has caused them to move to a new place that wasn't pet friendly. In fact, just as I, before I went on the show with you, I was looking at my Facebook, and there's a woman who works at the Fort Worth shelter in Texas, Ginger Leach, and she's great. She tries to get as, you know, they do euthanize for space reasons at this shelter, but she works night and day on her days off all the time to try to get all the animals out that she possibly can, you know, adopted to fosters and transferred to rescue groups. And I see a Facebook post from her right now that says, and this was posted 3 hours ago, that says, is there anyone that can assist a citizen with a deposit so she can keep her dog? Ginger writes that this woman brought her dog into the shelter, and she was very distraught about it. And she explained, you know, their situation, that she couldn't afford the pet deposit. And I guess everyone at the shelter was so moved about how distraught the woman was, is that, you know, they said, take your dog home, because we're going to try to help you. And right now she's on Facebook trying to get people to give so this woman can keep her dog, so she doesn't have to, you know, face giving them up because she couldn't afford a pet deposit. I mean, that is just heartbreaking if people are having to choose between keeping a roof over their head and also keeping their beloved pet. And, you know, it's the Forbes survey also found that 7% of pet owners said they could not afford their animals' medical bills. And this survey also found that of pet owners who did not surrender their pets to shelters, they're struggling as well because of the economy. And 42% of pet owners can't pay for an unexpected veterinary bill due to inflation. And a bill of about $500 or less would cause about 28% of pet owners to go into debt. So it's really frightening out there. People are going to be, more and more people are facing what's called economic euthanasia. And a website called Waggle, which helps people pay for their vet bills and helps rescues tackle high medical costs for dogs and cats, they estimate that probably close to 1 million pets a year die because their owners can't afford the medical care. So if, you know, you're at the vet and they're hit by a car and it's going to cost, you know, $5,000 for this surgery, if they can't give them that, they may have no other choice than to let the pet go. You know, sometimes people can't afford their cancer treatment or even simple things. And so it's just a terrible situation. And with, you know, the economy and people having to pay so much more for basic needs, care, rent, you know, now this winter we're facing increased you know, energy bills. It's really, everyone's afraid in the animal world that this is going to become bleaker and bleaker. And then once the animals are surrendered to shelters, you know, they start right now, they are stacking up in shelters. And the shelters don't have to hold. If you're a shelter that euthanizes dogs and cats for space reasons, if the animal is surrendered to the shelter, they do not have to hold the dog or cat for a certain amount of days because it's a surrender. The hold that you often hear about, that's called a stray hold. And every, you know, city, county, state, or the jurisdiction has specific numbers of days that they will keep the dog or cat before, you know, adopting them out, giving them to a rescue group, or euthanizing them. But when they're a surrender, they know that they're not a stray whose owner might be out there looking for them. And so those animals can be immediately euthanized if they're an owner's surrender. So those animals are stacking up right now in shelters. Animal euthanasia is up in some shelters for space reasons. And adoptions are down as well. Some rescue groups say that they're hesitant to take in new dogs and cats from these shelters because their costs are going up, their adoptions are down, and their donations are down because people can't afford to donate as much money. So it's just a spiraling domino-like situation that does not seem like it is looking any brighter. It's looking bleaker. And, you know, a lot of people in the animal welfare arena are a little depressed and a whole lot worried about this. And it's a complete opposite of what happened during the pandemic. During the height of the pandemic, that's when adoptions surged. You know, I think there's some estimates out there that say nearly one in five U.S. households, which is about 23 million homes, adopted animals. And so now it's just completely different. It's just a complete opposite switch of what happened a couple of years ago. You know, we went from shelters being emptied out because so many people were adopting pets during the pandemic. And now we're seeing more and more shelters having to euthanize for space reasons that haven't had to for a long time.
Yeah, it's a sad situation out there. You know, and so, and animals don't stand a chance without us, you know, speaking out and standing up for them. You know, because some of them, you know, they can't, this high inflation is not just in certain states. It's all over the United States. You know, rent mm-hmm. and housing. And, I mean, homeowners insurance, property taxes, you name it, we're getting hit from every angle. And the dog food, I've noticed all that too, cat food, veterinarians care. I mean, something's got to give here, Watchdog Mary, because it's terrible. And these animals mm-hmm. that get in these overcrowded, you know, shelters, and they have to euthanize them to make more space. So they're going from a family that they was with that couldn't afford it no more, and they're going right to death row, you know, pretty much. And it's sad. Something's got to give because, you know, we're not all rich out there, and they need to do something. There needs to be some control and oversight because it seems like there's no control or oversight out there. It's just you put a price tag on it, and it flies. You know, there's no compassion, there's no mercy, nothing. And these animals deserve so much better, and the humans, you know, so we got to do something. I hope 2023 brings a better year because we deserve it. We need it. I've been reading with the elderly. You know, they can't even, some of them can't afford their meds, so they're not taking them. It's going to other health issues, and a lot of them are dying. I mean, who are we as humanity to allow this to happen? And, you know, what we allow is what will continue, you know, unless we have some changes in everyone. Sad, there's some sad stuff going on out there. And these animals, they don't have a voice. They're defenseless and helpless. And what gets me is in these shelters, the high kill, you know, they don't care what age they are. They'll put them down. You know, they don't give enough time to get them adopted.
Puppies, yeah. Mhm. 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 Shelters have had to euthanize puppies. They've had to euthanize adult dogs, senior dogs. It's really bad. And some shelters, some of the workers, I'm in touch with a lot of the workers at these shelters. They're devastated. I mean, you know, of course, there are some shelters that, you know, could certainly do better and practice what's called catch and kill animal control, where they aren't really doing a lot to try to get the animals adopted. But there are people who work in shelters and who really, I mean, it's part of them, and it's, you know, eats away at their souls. So, but you know, there are things that you can do to help. And just like you were saying, you know, what can we do, that kind of thing. There are things that you can do to help. You know, and so for some of them, it's not going to cost you anything. Everybody's really budget conscious right now. But there's different ways that involve, you know, paying for things and not paying for things. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what you can do to help. So, of course, since animals are stacking up in shelters and in rescue groups, like I want to include rescue groups in that as well, because a lot have said that their adoptions are down and their donations are down. In fact, I was in touch with some rescue groups in Puerto Rico and also in New England when the hurricane hit Puerto Rico and Florida, and they usually, traditionally, shelters in the Northeast would take a lot of dogs from the South when a hurricane hit. But the rescue groups up here in the Northeast, they were panicking, saying, you know, we're full. We have all these animals. You know, we're not sure if we can help out these hurricane dogs. And I have never heard shelters in the Northeast have to say something like that. But what you can do to help is, of course, adopt a pet if you can. You know, if you can afford them, if you can afford their food and their care and their medical bills, you know, it's a big undertaking to adopt. And if, you know, you have a dog or a cat or any kind of pet or a companion animal, you know, you might run into an unforeseen medical expense. And so you really have to make sure that you can afford them and their care, their medical bills. You know, there's, of course, pet insurance plans that you can look at. Some vets' offices offer care plans. So there's a lot of things that you can look at. And the other important thing to remember is, even if you want a purebred dog, you can still adopt a purebred dog, especially, quite frankly, now might be one of the best times ever to adopt a purebred dog. And here's why. A lot of people bought purebred dogs and can't afford them now, and even cats. And they are turning them into shelters as well, and they're turning them into rescue groups. There's a lot of breed-specific rescue groups out there. So if you want a doodle, if you want a Bernese Mountain Dog, if you want a Golden Retriever or a Labrador, you can adopt purebred dogs from rescue groups. A lot of them are taking in, you know, those purebred dogs from families who can't afford them, or perhaps sadly there was a divorce in the family and, you know, they couldn't decide who was going to take the dog, or they didn't want the dog. You know, I've seen rescue groups take in purebred dogs because, and, you know, every kind of dog imaginable, because their owners passed away and there were no provisions for the dog or the cat, and the family members didn't want them. So if you are interested in a certain kind of breed, just jump on Google, and you can Google Golden Retriever Rescue Groups, you know, Labradoodle Rescue Groups, Basset Hound Rescue Groups, you know, King Charles Rescue Groups. You know, those are very popular purebred dogs. So now is like the best time to adopt a purebred. So that is definitely one way that you can help, because I have seen all these purebred animals end up in shelters. In fact, myself, I have adopted two different labs, and I don't care if they're purebred labs or if they're mixes, but I adopted one from Puerto Rico and another dog from Texas. I did a DNA test on them for the heck of it. They both turned out to be purebred labs. You know, I would love them no matter what. But myself, I have adopted two purebred labs who both came from high kill shelters. My yellow lab was about to be killed at a humane society in Puerto Rico because they were full. And a Sado group came in to rescue some of the Sado street dogs, and they saw her tied to the desk and said this some backyard breeder surrendered her, and they couldn't leave her, so they scooped her up. You know, they posted her for adoption. I saw it, and, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, so when people say, like, oh, I wanted this purebred dog, that's why, you know, I went to this breeder or bought them, you know, this is a good time to adopt. So if you can't adopt a pet, then you can absolutely consider fostering a pet. And most of the time, when you foster a pet, it's a great way to get a dog or a cat or any, you know, a rabbit or a guinea pig or a bird out of a crowded shelter. So you usually would work with a rescue group, or sometimes some big shelters have foster programs. But the rescue would take the dog or the cat or the animal, whatever it is, from the shelter, and they would come and live with you. And then that frees up a kennel or a cage at the shelter that they can make room for the next animal. So you have essentially saved that animal's life by fostering, by taking them out of the shelter, opening up that kennel for another pet, and you have saved a life. And a lot of the times, the rescue groups pay for the animal's medical care. So it's not going to cost you anything to foster a dog. Sometimes they'll help you out with food expenses, that kind of thing. Often, if you do incur any expenses, you know, again, just discuss it with the rescue group or the shelter. It's usually tax deductible. It depends on your tax circumstance. But if you Google fostering is tax deductible, I've written several articles about it. There's a lot of info out there. Of course, it depends on all, you know, your tax bracket and how you do your taxes. But fostering a pet is usually tax deductible. But it is a way that you can save an animal's life. The rescue group pays for most of their care, and especially their vet bills. So you give them just a roof over their head, love. You make them part of your family for a bit. You work with the rescue group to maybe get them spayed and neutered, vaccinated, you know, any kind of medical care they need. And then they get posted for adoption. Some of the rescues that I volunteer with, they have a potential adopter speak to the foster parent, you know, so they can, you know, learn more about the pet before they adopt them. And then you are kind of the medium that gets them to their forever home. And some people say, like, oh, I could never foster because I'd get too attached to the pet. And what that I kind of think, and a lot of people in rescue will say, is, well, would you rather the animal die in a shelter? Because if no one's willing to foster them because they're afraid of getting attached, that animal could be killed just for space reasons. So fosters literally save animals' lives. It's so important. It is the lifeblood of so many rescues. You are saving their life. And of course you're going to care and love and get attached to the animal, but, you know, most rescues will let you adopt or kind of get first dibs on adopting the animal if you're interested in it. And a lot of the rescues also, the adopters keep in touch with the fosters. In fact, I'm still in touch with the woman that fostered one of my dogs. We keep in touch on social media. I'll send her texts. I'll send her updates. Some fosters even visit their dogs or cats in the new home. Some even dog sit and cat sit for them, for the adopters when they're away. So it's often not goodbye forever, where you never see them again or never hear about them. I know some people that have fostered hundreds of dogs and cats. They just keep their door open. As soon as they take in one foster, they work with the rescue pays for the care, that foster gets adopted, they take in another one. You know, it's just a cycle, and every time that animal gets adopted, they take in another foster, and they've saved the lives of hundreds of animals by fostering. It's really incredible. I love seeing sometimes people's Facebook posts who are fosters, and they say something like, well, dog number 153 just got adopted that I fostered. And there's a picture of their foster dog with their new family. The new family's over the moon excited. And then they have a spot open in their house for another foster, and that means another life saved out of the shelter. So I can't tell you how important fosters are. And, you know, if you can't adopt, if you can't foster, of course, if you can afford to, donating to nonprofit animal rescues and shelters. That always helps because, you know, everyone is complaining that their donations are down, and that means they can't afford to care for as many pets as they usually would, and they can't save as many. So donating is always helpful. And then there's always volunteering, and that's a huge help. So if you can adopt, foster, or donate, volunteering is a great way, a great free way to be involved. You can go down to your local shelter, see what help they need. You know, you can walk dogs, for example. You can take pictures of pets in need and, you know, help the shelter post the animals online to, you know, social media, to Pet Finder, Adopt a Pet. So word gets out that, you know, this pet, this animal needs a home or needs a rescue group. You know, cute pictures and videos are seriously the key to saving, you know, these pets' lives. And even, you know, smartphone cameras, they take pretty good pictures and video. So you don't need to be a photography whiz in order to do something like that. You know, someone else can take the pictures. You know, and you can upload, if you're web savvy, you know, have a computer and an internet connection, you can help upload and write, you know, adoption bios for dogs and cats and things like that. So there's just so many ways that you can get involved. You know, just Google, you know, animal shelter and your zip code or see what's around there with your city. You know, you can contact animal rescue groups. A lot of times, you know, they need people not only to do the photos and the bios and the web work and the networking, but sometimes that they just need people to help write, you know, the bios for dogs or to do data entry, you know, to just take, you know, the vet records and upload them to the database. And there's so many things. Fundraising, they need people who can, you know, throw fundraisers and things like that, from bake sales to online types of fundraising. And one of the biggest things I always tell people is it's so important to find out what's going on in your local community. So most communities have, you know, municipal shelters, county shelters, city shelters. I mean, you need to find out what is going on in your town. So, you know, if you live in San Francisco, California, you know, Boston, Massachusetts, can't even say the place I live. It's been a long day. Or, you know, Chicago, Illinois, wherever you live. You know, find out who handles animal control in your community. And, you know, and talk to them. You know, do they euthanize dogs and cats for space reasons? If so, how many? You know, how many pets are they euthanizing a year and why? You really need to know what is going on in your community. And if that number seems high, some would say if they do not have a, you know, a 90 to a 95% live release rate, meaning if, you know, if they euthanize more than, you know, 5 to 10% of the, you know, animals in their shelter, that's a problem that you should be concerned about. And I can tell you more about that in a moment, but it sounds like, do we have a caller coming in?
Yes, we do. I want to know, Mary, and another great show this evening. So informative and bringing all the awareness, because all these animals deserve so much better and better lives and futures. And, you know, we got to do what we can do. I hope there's going to be more adoption events. You know, adopt, don't shop, everyone. You know, spay and neuter your pets. We can curb this big problem that's going on. And I was telling earlier some Facebook friends that it's gone from a pandemic to a scamdemic. It's so expensive. And it's sad because so many people are losing their pets because of the, you know, of all this high price gouging. And it's sad. And, you know, it's like these greed bullies are loose on front lines. But area code 631, you're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions?
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Is it Lauren?
It's Lauren. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. That's a former guest, Watchdog Mary.
Lauren
just brought her up earlier. Yes. She has my show podcast on her website, Save the World, Save the Animals. And she's been on the show several times and always welcome back, too. But go ahead, Lauren. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. I am so happy you do this, because
all the questions and answers are similar to mine because of what I do, you know. And, you know, the best PC for me, mine are adopted from the NYACC, so I'm sure you heard plenty of stories because the stories are true. Two pits from there. And then I found another one roaming around. He was in bad shape, so I took him too. Now, for me, even for anyone out there, if you want to adopt a pet, I would recommend sitting down, whether it's your husband, your boyfriend, your cousin, a family member, it doesn't matter. You should sit down and look at your expenses per month. Then you can see if you can afford to adopt a dog. Because for me, you know, normally I usually do that with house expenses. If you see yourself and you're looking at it and you got to say to yourself, okay, I'm sorry, this is no, I hate what ifs, but it's just something I need to say. If you're sitting down and you say, okay, what if they have to go to the vet? Or what if they have and they don't feel well or something like that. That's also got to be in your budget. So if you could afford your food, vet care, and just in case emergency money, that would be a good thing too. And I wanted to mention something real quick. I don't think a lot of people know this, but there is a credit card called Care Credit. Now, Care Credit was for dentists and veterinarians. So what Care Credit does, whatever vet you go to, say you spend $300 to $500, right? Well, Care Credit, if you pay with the Care Credit, a lot of times they will give you a year, no interest. Sometimes you even get 2 years without interest. And that really helps a lot. And I just wanted to say that to everybody because there are ways to adopt a dog or cat. And that's it.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, that's why I had mentioned, you know, make sure that you can afford it because,
right,
you know, it does add up. And you don't want to be one of the people, you know, surrendering the dog to a shelter or trying to come up with a plan B. But that's another reason that fostering is so great is, you know, the rescue usually helps pay for most, you know, the animal's care and you're literally saving a life.
That's right. I think
save
that's
the
very
lives
important.
Of the animals, very important, you know, because they deserve a right to
absolutely
live as every one of them and get treated with dignity and respect. You know, they love, you know, they love to be cared for and you know, they rely on us for a lot of things here, you know, be fed and water, take to the vet, let outside, you know, hang out with them, communicate with them, spend some, mm-hmm. you know, good quality time together. They're like our, you know, they're fur kids, our furry babies. And they deserve to be treated, you know, fairly. All of them, not just some of them. But, you know, we need change bad because it's so out of control. I mean, millions and millions of healthy, adoptable animals every year get put down, everyone. We can do a lot better out there with this. You know, and a big, you know, shout out to all the cross posters out there that relentless posting animals in need adopted, whether it's cats, dogs, you know, whatever, and they don't give up. And I love to see, you know, hey, fostered or safe or adopted. I mean, I love seeing that going through because I know the Voices Carry for Animals, my group, support group, has a lot of, you know, death row animals going through there. So for anyone, please join if you're cross-posting and help out. We need your help and get more animals to safety, what they so well deserve. And also, boy, I'm an admin on Voice for Animals, and they, you know, we post a lot of animals going through there. I mean, whatever you can do, every bit helps. You know, like Watchdog Mary was saying, fostering, that saves a lot of lives. You know, go out and adopt those, you know, save, put money aside for your furry loved ones, because they don't deserve mm-hmm. to come in, live a good home, and then all of a sudden they have to go because of this high inflation out there. It's sad. It's out of control. You know, so let's change the scamdemic, and we need some more compassion and mercy here, because it's just so out of control. The prices on everything, you know, we're not all rich out there, and we need some control, right? I mean, we only wish we was rich. I mean, there's a Powerball hitting in, this Saturday, $800 million. I would take care of so many animals. You wouldn't believe it. You know, I would do it because it's there for me to do. But that's just dreaming, you know. So, but we have to do something, everyone. Make it better for them, because it's going on every year after year, a vicious cycle, and it needs to stop. We'll never see zero euthanization, but we at least can make a big dent in it and bring it way down and see it decrease. And it takes teamwork to do that, you know. So,
well, I think just even raising the awareness that shelters are in crisis and rescue groups need help, and everyone's
yes.
kind of facing this, and that the surrenders are increasing so heavily. I think people just knowing that hopefully is going to help a bit. You know, when you call attention to a problem, you know, there's usually people that want to help. And so the more people that know that the tides have turned, the whole pandemic puppy adoption craze, that is long over. Everything's completely different now.
Yes, it is. And I got another caller here. Lauren, you can stay on air, okay? It's another great show.
Thank
you. And you're right, Watchdog Mary. Right. Get the awareness out there. What's going on? You know, whether get the hold of your news, your newspapers, you know, social media. We've got to, you know, there's so much we could all do together to make a positive difference in these animals' world. Because, you know, let's bring some bright light in and not dim light. There's always, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. That's where we got to make it happen. But anyway, area code 719, you're live and on the air. Do you have any comments or questions for Watchdog Mary? Go ahead.
You know I do. Hi,
Debbie. It's Mama Cat. Meow. And Watchdog Mary, she's a former guest. She takes care of 110 cats.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to also mention that in my area, I have found that a lot of the senior neighbors in our communities are having, to me, it seems like the worst times. You know, they live on a set amount of money, and, you know, with prices going up, that's who in my area are relinquishing their pets at an alarming rate. They can't afford the food. They can't afford the, you know, the care. And so I started going to the senior homes. The senior, what's it called? Hold on, I have a brain injury. It takes a while for words to pop into my head. Like Silver Key, places like that, and ask them if they know of any seniors that are in need of dog food, cat food, medical assistance for their pets, a ride to the vet or any of those things. And also in the schools. Because these kids know their grandparents, and they know that the only thing a lot of these elderly people have are their companion pets within the home. And so mm-hmm. by going to the schools, we put boxes up, and it's called the Empty Bowl Fund. And there's two boxes. One contains a jar for donations, and the other is a place where they can drop a name or a contact number, email address, to speak with somebody about getting help for their grandparents or for their parents or a senior in their community you know, that is struggling with feeding their pets. So those are just two areas that really haven't been mentioned a whole lot yet, but it really has made a difference. Because if you can help a senior keep their little poodle or, you know, whatever animal that they have, the smile on their face is just, you know, it's priceless. And the reason
Absolutely.
For giving them up isn't because they don't want them. It's because they can't afford them, you know. So helping them is extremely important in my book.
Absolutely.
Yes, agreed. That,
there's
that's,
a,
that
I've seen a push
awesome.
Also to have people donate to food pantries, too, to help senior citizens and anyone who needs help feeding their pets as well.
Right.
I know
I've
donated.
I was going to mention that, too.
Yeah, I know I've donated some food. I know Chewy was great. One of us ordered the wrong kind of dog food, and I went to return it, and they said just donate it to the local pet pantry. So I brought it down there and donated it. So there's, you know, lots of opportunities to do things like that. And, you know, people can also, you know, jump online and even Google if they need help from a food pantry, you know, who might be running one in their area.
Right, and we publish that a lot as well. It's just those are hit up, you know, so hard and so fast that, you know, it's hard for the senior citizens to get there. I mean, some of them do, don't get me wrong, some do, but, you know, some just can't. And those are the ones that, like with Silver Key, and there's other senior center areas, you know, that you can contact for that information as well. They may not give you their names, but they can tell you, you know, who, that, that, yes, we do have some people that could use help. And then we'll just bring dog food bags over to them, and they can distribute them because, you know, they know who's in their communities and who needs help.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, definitely. It's always good to check in with the seniors in your community and see, you know, what kind of help they might need.
Yep, that's heartwarming to do that, you know, giving them hope to carry on, keeping hope alive, and so they can, you know, keep their pets because they probably had them for a long time, and they don't want to give it up, but they're on fixed income, and it's tough for them. You know it is, and that's awesome, Mama Cat, what you're doing about the schools and, you know, stuff like that, because that's what's needed. When we can bring in a bright light to them and give them hope, that gives them encouragement. It keeps them up, not going to a major depression or down, you know. So
exactly.
Everyone out there, we got to do something. Be a positive impact in this world because this, you know, this high inflation is very high right now and out of control, and it's high anxiety society. You know, so we got to help these people, with, you know, keep their pets. Those are furry loved ones,
and, you know,
just like children. And
I've seen a lot of extremely negative comments on people's posts. You know, like in our area, we have Helping Colorado Springs. And you can go on there with a multitude of different things that you're in need of help, you know. But when people ask for help for dog food or cat food, and then, you know, you've got these keyboard warriors on there, telling them if you can't afford your animal, you shouldn't have them, and what a disgrace it is to have an animal that you can't afford. And it just, those comments just get under my fingernails. You know, we're all one paycheck away from an issue. And until people start opening up their minds to that, it could be you next week. You know, you might not have enough food to feed your kids or your pets. You know, so once we get past that, and the shaming of other people, you know, when they're in a difficult situation, that doesn't help any.
Yeah, there's no reason to judge anyone.
No.
You know, we didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody called for this inflation. I mean, when I go buy dog food, my dog food went from $50 a bag to $72.50 for a bag of dog food, the brand that we buy. And I've got three dogs. You know, so it adds up.
Yes, it does.
And, you know,
people
just can't afford it.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's rough.
It doesn't have
Everyone's
to go up that
seen
much.
The prices go up, yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
We do. We need control.
But, you know, like I always say, strength in numbers. We stand together. We have a better chance of, you know, hitting this head on and helping people, as many as we can. And, again, you know, like Mary said, donations are down, way down. Shelters are suffering. And, of course, the animals are the ones that always pay in the end. And I've seen a lot of shelters that are just completely closing down. They're not accepting any new animals. And if you find an animal, they tell you to bring it back to where you found it and release it, or take it into your own house and you take care of it. In Miami-Dade, that's what they're doing down there. Not just there, though. I don't want to make it sound like it's just – it's everywhere. They can't take any more in unless, you know, they're it's an emergency, they've been hit by a car or, you know, whatever. They'll take them in, and I'm not sure what they do with them, but they will take them in, but they're not taking, you know, strays. If you go in there with a stray – they tell you to either take it back where you found it, or you foster it, you know, at your own expense. And, you know, that just makes people stop helping them. It's telling them it's okay to just leave them out there, which, you know, we've worked too hard to get past that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a public safety problem as well, you know. I mean,
Yeah. And that's another issue. I mean, you're taking in a stray. You don't know what it's going to do with your children in your home if you were to bring it into your house, you know. And
vaccines, you don't know the vaccine history or bite history.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yep.
Definitely.
So it's
definitely
getting pretty tough, but
we've got some goals to reach.
For sure.
You know, we got some work to do here to help
a lot,
you know, better. Yeah. Be a positive light, not a negative light, not do nothing. Because
you've
got to help these animals out.
I think besides checking in with your local shelters and rescue groups, maybe also check in with your neighbors and see how they're doing.
Yeah.
See if they need help.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I do.
You know, that's right. Because that's what's needed, you know, see how they're doing, because it's not an easy world out there right now. It's very tough. And we've got to see it get better. We've got to see some changes. And I hope 2023 is going to bring some. So everyone, on November 8th, please go out and vote, okay? Please. Because it's going to make a difference on a lot of issues. So we got to, you know, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever, we got to do what's right for America, Americans, and the animals, veterans, or homeless people, because every life matters out there, you know, including the animals. Every life matters. And, you know, so, and we're all on this earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it. So, but we're down to 2 minutes, ladies, and I want to thank you, Mama Cat, for meow, for calling in. She's a big part. She's a former guest. She takes care of 110 cats in colonies. Isn't that awesome? She has huge heart. Yes, and she's been a former guest on here several times, and that's not including the animals that come up in her yard, like deer, you know, and her pets inside. So I call her Mama Cat. She's also Mama Dog.
And I got raccoon,
Mama Raccoon,
dog,
Mama Deer. And they give her a standing ovation when she comes up and brings food and water. Now, I don't know if they do that, but you know they love her to death. But anyway, Mama Cat, thank you for all your support and everything and your multitask. And looking forward to having you on. And Lauren Contino, you're still on there. Thank you for calling in and all your support. Keep it up. Looking forward to having you back on. I'm booked up for the rest of the year, but 2023, I'm going to start bringing them in. They're backing up for 2023, which is a big plus for the animals, everyone, because there's issues from every angle, and we're bringing awareness. We're not going to, you know, that's a big plus for the animals to have all these shows, okay? And Watchdog Mary, looking forward to you to come back here also in 2023, okay? And thanks again for a great show. It's been outstanding again. All these shows are great. I can't think of any bad ones yet out of the 374 because they're so informative and bringing awareness. But thank you all for tuning in this evening and joining us.
Thanks,
next
Debbie.
Thursday,
thanks,
I'm at Barbara Levette.
Thanks, Debbie.
So you
thanks,
see
Mama Cat.
Now.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, Debbie. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for calling in.
Yes, that's right, because that means so much. Yes.
And if you need help feeding your pets, please reach out and ask for help.
Yep, we got to be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems, everyone. But thank you for tuning in. May God bless you all, and hope you tune in next week with Barbara Levette to Save Nosy Now. Nosy is in a sanctuary, has been for several years in Tennessee, and has her own law up there in New Jersey. So I want to welcome her aboard. We're going to be talking about elephants and captivity, okay? So thanks all.
Oh, great topic.
In. Yes, Paul
thank
and
you.
Ed, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. Have a peaceful evening. Bye-bye. Thanks, Mary.